You tell me you love me, you say you'll be true. Then I'll see you later with somebody new. But I'm crazy about you, you butterfly.
Well, that's butterfly, okay, but it actually sounds more like a caterpillar to me. It's kind of like in its formative stage. Is that correct, Charlie Gracie?
Rockin' Ronnie Allen, you are absolutely correct.
What was that? Was that a demo, maybe?
Yes, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks before we went in and cut the hit version of Butterfly, that was a demo that I did in the studio, and of course you'll see that the words have been changed later on. It was like a sort of a workshop thing, you know?
The words have been changed to protect the innocent or the guilty?
Or whatever.
Let me just introduce you properly. Charlie Gracie is unquestionably an American rock pioneer. Is that okay? Does that make you sound too old? I don't know. Rock
makes
pioneer?
Makes me sound very important, I'll tell you that.
You are very important. In fact, you're so important that Paul McCartney is a friend of yours?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. After I had my success with Cameo Parkway Sessions, with Butterfly being my number one hit, of course I recorded 5 or 6 years before that with no big success. I had the opportunity to go over to Great Britain, where my records sold even better than they did in America. And unbeknownst to me at that particular time, I was 21 years old, and people in the audience like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Joe Cocker and Graham Nash and people like of that ilk were in the audience. Evidently, they felt inspired by my work, which I never thought I inspired anybody. So we had an opportunity to meet, and he's a very gracious guy, by the way, really a nice guy. And he said to me, Charlie, Paul said, I came to see you when I was 16 years old in Liverpool when you played the theater there. And he says, I'll never forget your versions of Fabulous and Guitar Boogie. Isn't that amazing?
What a compliment. When you started out, were there any singers who influenced you most?
Well, I grew up in a household of music. My mom and dad were both musically inclined. They were not in show business, but they loved music. So my mom was a very big country fan. I used to listen to a lot of the Hank Williams, Hank Snow, Ernest Tubb, you know, that type of stuff. And my dad was into the big bands and the Sinatra and the Louis Prima and the Louis Jordan. I got my fill of both sides of the spectrum. And being a young teenager, we used to listen to a lot of the what they call race records in those days, which was black rhythm and blues. So I got my fill of everything. My head was bursting at that point.
We should mention that you are from Philadelphia, USA.
South Philadelphia, USA.
South Philadelphia, okay.
Very important.
Now, I understand that yours is not the conventional story where when you were in your crib, you decided you wanted to be a singer. It didn't quite happen that way. It happened when your father made a decision to buy you something?
Well, you know, I was 10 years old at the time. The war had just ended. This is 1946, and I was the firstborn of 3 sons, and my dad was a hat maker. He worked in Stetson Hat Company, a very famous hat company at the time. And one weekend he said to me, let's take a walk up South Street, which later became famous in song, as you know. And in those days, it was a mill area, like haberdashers, pawn shops, shoe shops, where people went and buy clothes. So he had $15 in his pocket that he saved up. He was going to buy himself a suit. And in those days, for $15, you got 2 pair of pants in case you ripped them. You know what I mean?
That's right, yes.
And then walking, he said to me, we kept passing pawn shops with instruments in it, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, he stopped in front of one point. He said, Charlie, the heck with the suit. He says, pick an instrument out. I want you to make something of yourself. I don't want you to work like a donkey like I have in a factory all my life. I said, okay, Dad. I said, how about a nice trumpet like Harry James? He said, nah, you don't want a trumpet. Get a guitar. You'll be a one-man band. That's how I got in show business.
Well, if you had gotten a trumpet, you might have become Frankie Avalon.
Not only that, I probably would have been starving to death today. Trumpet players, better than the man. Guitar players are.
Before Butterfly, you actually recorded for a couple of labels, a Cadillac, but that turned out more like an Edsel for you.
Well, yeah, it was the beginning of my recording career. I was on a show called The Paul Whiteman Show.
Right.
Paul Whiteman was a very famous orchestra leader of the 30s and 40s, jazz orchestra. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the guys like Bing Crosby got to start with him. You know, he was a wonderful musician. And they had this show coming out of Philadelphia on an ABC affiliate, programmed around a 3 or 4 state area, like New York, Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania. And this man who owned a record company in New York, right on Broadway, called Cadillac Records, evidently heard me in the car radio coming into Philadelphia, and he offered me a recording contract. I was not quite 16 years old, just ready to enter high school. And I made my first recording, and I recorded from late 51 to 56, with no great success, but, you know, building a repertoire, building a fan base. Then finally, late in 56, a guy came up to me. He was looking for a tall, sexy Elvis type. I guess he couldn't find him, so he wound up with me.
and
he says, I got $2,000. I'm going to start a record company called Cameo Records. I think he told my dad, I think your kid has a lot of talent. So we went into the studio. It was not quite Christmas, maybe a week or two before. at the place 12th and Market called Record Art Studios, which later became very famous with the Cameo Parkway label. And we cut two sides, one called Butterfly, one called 99 Ways. And not only did we have a hit record by March, but we had a number one hit, dethroned a guy by the name of Elvis for a couple of weeks. We sold a few million copies of that record.
This is Charlie Gracie and Butterfly.
You tell me you love me, you say it's true, then you fly around with somebody new, but I'm crazy about you, you butterfly. You treat me mean, you're making me cry, I made up my mind to tell you goodbye, but I'm no good without you, you butterfly. I know what I'll do. I'm flipping your wings. You're flying as blue, 'cause I'm crazy about you. Fly around with somebody new, but I'm crazy about you, you butterfly. You treat me mean, you're making me cry. I made up my mind to tell you goodbye, but I'm no good without you, you butterfly. Love you so much, I know what I'll do. I'm flipping your wings, you're flying as blue, 'cause I'm breathing about you, you butterfly.
Butterfly, Charlie Gracie, great number one hit from 1957. And you know, Charlie, it's difficult enough. I mean, it's like a monumental feat to get a number one hit, particularly when you're kind of an unknown artist to start. And yet, you did it, and you did it when you had competition from somebody named Andy Williams.
Yes, well, you know, I cut that record about 2 or 3 weeks later. Andy came out with his version. By the way, he's a great guy. I've been in his company many a time. He's a great talent and a wonderful human being. I'll say that about Andy. And I was working in a nightclub at the time, and I would take my break and go into the back room and watch the Steve Allen show. I love Steve Allen.
Right.
And each night he'd have Steve Lawrence, Edie Gourmet, and Andy Williams, 5 nights a week, coast to coast. When I heard him singing, "You tell me you love me," I said, "I'm dead." but thank God our record, we sold 3 million copies, and Andy sold 1 million copies. We both had a number one hit with the same song.
Right. Let's move on to Fabulous. A fabulous record, in my opinion. I like Fabulous as much as I like Butterfly, actually.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. Everybody has different tastes, you know. And what happened was, of course, we had a two-sided hit. I skipped over this part. The other side of Butterfly was called 99 Ways.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they wanted that to be the A side, and I said, "I think you're wrong, fellas. I think Butterfly's the A side." But you know what? I think that the other side could have been a number one hit, too. They just didn't play it as much. But it hit number 11 on the charts, and a guy by the name of Tab Hunter covered me on that one.
Right, and we might use 99 Ways as a bonus track. Those of you who listen to this show, it's on the Jersey Girl Sing website, JerseyGirlSing.com, and it's on Ronnie's radio page. And we have bonus tracks that are not actually part of the radio show, and I think we'll use 99 Ways because it's a great one. But we're going to hear Fabulous right now. This is Charlie Gracie, the follow-up to Butterfly.
Well, I always knew I was crazy for you. How'd I know? You thrill me so. If this is love, well, it's fabulous.
Your lips close to mine, I get chills up my spine, and when they touch, I thrill so much. If this is love, it's fabulous. I read in a book about love and its charms, but I never knew till I held you in my arms. When I held you tight, well, I know I'm right. It's only you can do what you do. If this is love, it's fabulous. Always knew I was crazy for you. How'd I know that you'd thrill me so? If this is a love, well, it's fabulous. Your lips are close to mine, I get chills up my spine. When they touch, I thrill so much. If this is love, well, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. If this is love, well, it's fabulous.
That's Charlie Gracie. Charlie's on the phone with me. I'm Ronnie Allen. And Charlie, I understand that Paul McCartney did a version of that song.
You're absolutely correct there, Ronnie. When I met him over in England about 4 or 5 years ago while I was on tour there, we met backstage. Like, as I said, he's a real nice guy. You never think the guy had a quarter on him, to tell you the truth. A real humble person. To Charlie, that song's been haunting me from the day I heard it when I was a kid. And I told my wife, his first wife, Linda, that I want to record that someday. And he put it on one of his albums, Run Devil Run. Isn't that a nice thing to do?
Absolutely. And believe me, folks, Paul McCartney has more than a quarter. I think he does anyway.
Well, he's got more than a quarter.
I think so. We're going to move to a record. Actually, we're talking about England, Paul McCartney in England. Your biggest record in England was not Butterfly.
Well, you know, I had 3 top 20 hits in America. I had 7 top 20 hits in Great Britain. On the strength of my recordings of Butterfly and Fabulous, I toured England in 1957. I was only the second American to bring rock and roll to the European continent. Bill Haley and the Comets were there before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went as a solo act. I didn't have a band.
Right.
I was at the mercy of what they call the pit orchestra. I worked all the variety theaters, the Morse Empire chain.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on stage by myself, and the band was in the pit, just like the old vaudeville days, you know?
Right, yes.
Tough way to play rock and roll, pal.
I guess.
And yet, I took that country by storm. I mean, my God, I mean, the kids were in that place screaming their brains out. It was a wonderful thrill for me and like a miracle in our lives, the Gracie family. I never dreamt that I would ever have any popularity like that, even for a short time that I had it.
This song, Wandering Eyes, actually, I think, got to number 6 in England?
Yeah, hit the top 10 there for me.
Hit the top 10 and was really your biggest hit in England.
Yes, it was bigger than Butterfly and Fabulous in 99 ways, and I love you so much it hurts.
You do those in your sleep. Let's listen to it right now. Charlie Gracie and Wandering Eyes.
Oh, wandering eyes, you got wandering eyes for someone new. But me, for me, I just got eyes for only you. Oh, wandering eyes, you keep telling me lies. But I love you. One of these days, when you leave me all alone, how would you like it if I did some wandering of my own? Wandering life, you got beautiful life, but they're all true. I guess you got me hypnotized. I love you. You are. 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 got wondering eyes for someone new. But me, for me, I just got eyes for only you. Wondering lies, you keep telling me lies. I wish were true. I should be wise to all your lies. But I love you. One of these days, when you leave me all alone, how would you like it if I did some wondering of my own? Wondering lies, you got beautiful lies, but they're all true. I guess you've got me hypnotized. I love you.
You are.
Cause I love you.
Wandering Eyes. That's Charlie Gracie. And Charlie, it's such a pleasure to have you with me tonight.
It's a pleasure being on your show, Ronnie. Thank you for having me.
I am enjoying this so much, and you have fans throughout the world who are going to be listening to this show. So this is an awesome responsibility for both of us.
Well, listen, it's just great being with you. And by the way, if I can take a second out to mention, if anybody wants to purchase albums or anything like that, they could just log on to oldies.com. All my stuff's available on there. And my website is charliegracie.com, so it's very simple.
And we want to spell that for people. It's CharlieGracie.
Right.
That's one word.
.com.
.com.
That's
okay.
It. Very simple.
Very,
but
very
you can always find out where I'm playing anywhere on the planet.
I want to mention there is a specific CD called The Best of Charlie Gracie, and I have it in front of me here, Cameo Parkway, 1956 to 1958.
Well, they did a great job on it. The APCO people, you know, they bought all the Cameo Parkway stuff, and Jody Klein, who was the president of the company, came to see me perform in New York, and he never had seen me before, you see. So when he saw me perform and he saw me play, he says, listen, I know I'm going to put you on the first two songs of the box set because you bankrolled the company for us, but I'm going to put a CD out on all your best of your stuff. I tell you, it's done very, very well, and the guy's been very generous to me.
Well, let me tell you, there are 99 ways, Charlie, that I could tell people how fabulous this is. I'm just looking at all the tracks.
You've mentioned the title.
And my eyes are wandering right now, and I have one thing to say, cool, baby.
Oh, my.
There we go.
By the way, that was written by Otis Blackwell, who did a couple of things for Elvis, you know, great writer.
Which one was written by Otis?
Cool Baby.
Cool Baby, okay. There's a song on this CD called You Got a Heart Like a Rock. I believe this was a single. Anything you could tell me about this particular
song?
Well,
you know, when I got stuck with this company here, Cameo, they made me do a lot of pop rock stuff, you know, rockabilly pop rock. I said, let's do something with a little bit of, like, oomph to it, a little, you know, like, hookspit, you know what I mean? And I finally convinced him to doing this old Carl McVoy tune, because You Got a Heart Like a Rock, I think it was. And you could hear my guitar playing more in it. It gets a little more, like, rockish, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think it's sort of a little change of pace from what I did with them earlier.
We're going to listen to it right now. Here is Charlie Gracie, and You Got a Heart Like a Rock.
You rock, you rock, you rock, you rock. You got a smile like an angel, eyes like a star's above. You rock, you rock. You're the kind of a baby that I've been dreaming of. You rock, you rock. You got everything you need.
Rock, 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 rock
Oh, you got a heart like a rock.
Oh, they'll take the wind out of you, right?
Oh, boy. Well, sometimes if people listen to enough of your music, Charlie, they can get a little bit exhausted because you just move so fast and you move and groove. And
well, I like to keep it moving, man. Listen, you know, when people go see a guy entertain, they don't want to hear him talk. They want to hear him sing and play whatever he does. But a lot of people talk too much on stage, I think.
Yeah. Do you ever get tired?
Do you ever get tired?
Yeah.
No, I never get tired.
With all the energy that you have.
Well, listen, this is what I've done since I'm 10 years old. So to me, it's always been a pleasure. I mean, I'm there to make you have a good time. Audience, you know
right.
what I'm saying? And if you go home happy, I've done my job, and I go to sleep happy that night, and I get paid for it, too. You can't beat that.
Absolutely not. That is true. And when you're getting paid for something that you love so much,
right.
it almost gives you a guilty pleasure, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it beats getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going to work in a factory. I'll tell you that, thanks to my father, God rest his soul, and my mother.
Yeah,
they gave me the opportunity when I was a kid, you know.
We got a couple more that we're going to play, and this next one is Collider, the old Hank Williams song. Hank wrote it.
Yes, he did. Great artist, by the way.
Elijah was a woodman standing by the door. He fell in love with an Indian maid over the antique store. Elijah, standing there as lonely as could be, wishing he was still an old pine. Oh, Elijah never had a kiss. Oh, Elijah don't know what he missed. Elijah was a wooden man standing by the door. He fell in love with an Indian maid over the antique store. Elijah, standing there, never let it show. She would never answer, yes or no. Well, poor old Elijah never had a kiss. Poor old Elijah don't know what he missed.
Charlie, this has been so much fun for me, and before we play one more song by you called Little Too Soon to Tell, I want to let people know that you are keeping busy these days. You did a special show, I think it was with Chubby Checker, was it Bobby?
Yeah, we worked two shows this weekend, one in Wildwood and one in Philadelphia, and the one in Philadelphia we had about 7,000 people. It was an outdoor thing for the NovaCare Center, you know? Wonderful. And Wednesday we leave for France for a week to do a concert out there, then I come back and do the Wildwood Rock and Roll Festival late in October. We get about 7,000 people for that at the convention hall. Then I have one day off, and I leave for Britain for a 4.5 to 5 week tour. So I'll be pretty busy till the end of November. And our music is fun. There's nothing religious, political. You know, you got to remember something. We were the dance generation, and we still are. When people dance together. And that's what it was all about, the bandstand thing, the whole thing, dancing. Music, it was the beat, the beat, the beat, the beat. That's what made rock and roll world famous for the last 50 years.
Absolutely.
I'm so happy to have been just a small part of it. You know, my God, you know, coming from a working class, poor family. I at least got in the record books with a giant record, and how many people could say they accomplished that in a lifetime? So I'm very grateful. I'm very happy, and thanks to people like you, Ronnie Allen, that keep our music alive, and your fans out there. I want to thank you all very much.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want to let all of your fans know that I'm doing this show for you. This is for you, so that you can hear Charlie's music and enjoy it, and just keep rocking, Charlie. What more can I say?
Thank you all, and God bless you and your family, and God bless everybody out there.
This song, A Little Too Soon to Tell, what's interesting about this song?
Well, the interesting part is a few years ago, I had to keep going back to this. It sounds like a broken record. I had the pleasure of meeting Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Graham Nash is a wonderful man. And he says, Charlie, he says, I gave me the same story. I came to see you when I was 16 years old with my kid sister when you worked Manchester. This is 1957, 1958. He said, and you happened to throw a cigarette butt out. And he opened his wallet and had the cigarette there after like 47 years. He said, we kept the cigarette butt. Isn't it amazing, you know, these things? And, you know, when I think about it, I laugh because I said, who the heck would keep a cigarette butt if a guy that sings and plays the guitar? And he said, it's payback time. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, I understand you're cutting a new album. He said, when you get done, send it to me. I'd like to do something on it with you. So he sings harmony on this particular tune with me. What a wonderful person.
Absolutely. Charlie, again, thanks a million. All the best of success to you. And ladies and gentlemen, here's Charlie Gracie and Graham Nash with Little Too Soon to Tell.
Little girl smiled at me today, my heart took it right. There ain't no way to slow it down, there ain't no place to hide. I'll wake up tomorrow and I know just how I turn out. Now it's a little too soon to tell. I don't even know her name, I know she don't know me. Trying to convince myself she liked my company. Cause she might be an angel come to break this lonely spell. Right now it's a little too soon to tell. Well, it's a little too soon to call her mine. A little too early to go making time. Throwing my quarters in the wishing well. But it's a little too soon to tell. Cause it's a little too soon to tell. Swore I had enough of love after what they put me through. One more promise I could not keep when I laid eyes on you. Now my imagination got me hearing wedding bells. She may be the angel come to break the lonely spell. Right now it's a little too soon to tell. Well, it's a little too soon to call her mine. A little too early to call making time.
Thanks for listening to the show. Now we have bonus tracks. This one is the flip side of Butterfly, called 99 Ways.
There must be 99 ways for losing the blues that I forgot from loving you. Oh, 99 ways, but none of them do. There must be 99 ways to do without you, but I can't buy one tonight. I'm feeling so bad, and nothing is right. Baby, I'm missing you, hugging and a kiss, and I'm as lonely as can be. Well, I tried all the other, but none of the other can do what's due to me. There must be 99 ways for losing the blues that I forgot from loving. Still love you. something is right. Oh, babe, I'm missing your hug and a kiss that I'm as lonely as can be. I try all the others, but none of the others can do what's due to me. There must be 99 ways for losing the blues that is not of loving you. 99 ways, but I still love you.
And here's one that we mentioned during the show, but we didn't play. I'm going to play it now. Here's Cool Baby.
Chew-up, chew-up, chew-up. Cool, chew-up, chew-up, chew-up. Cool,
I love to hold you.
Chew-up, chew-up.
But I'll never scold you.
Chew-up, chew-up.
Please don't cry. Well, I won't lie. You're really my cool baby. Cool baby. You make my heart sing. Yeah. You say sweet things. I swear it's true. I really do. I'd go for you. Meant to be, I can tell that you were meant for me. Your crazy walk, yeah, 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 makes me talk, yeah. Your lips extend, well, I bet that you wonder. Come on, surrender.